Funding for this podcast comes from MathWorks, creators of MATLAB and Simulink software, accelerating the pace of engineering and science. Learn more at MathWorks.com.
Welcome back to Radio Boston. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty. Well, as we all know, it is graduation season, and starting this month, millions of college students are being set out into the world to search for and hopefully find a job. Now, of course, that is no easy task. According to the Pew Research Center, the unemployment rate amongst recent grads remains higher now than it was before the Great Recession of 2008. However, there is one sector with hundreds of thousands of open jobs. They're the middle-skill jobs, ones that provide you with a decent middle-class wage and don't require a traditional four-year college degree. These are jobs like manufacturing sector jobs, electrical work, or possibly even health science technicians. Now, in order to meet the demand in these fields, Catherine Newman says we need to reinvigorate vocational education and stop focusing so much on four-year college degrees. She's the provost of the University of Massachusetts Amherst, and she's also a professor of sociology at UMass Amherst. And she's co-authored a New York Times op-ed about vocational education called Straight from High School to a Career, and she joins us now. Professor Newman, welcome to Radio Boston.
Thank you so much for having me.
So first of all, I wonder if we could just actually start with a big picture question, because this whole mantra of college, four-year college for all, has been such a part of the push for in education in America for a couple generations now. Why step back from that?
So let me start by saying that I'm speaking on behalf of myself as a scholar and not for the university as an official position. But I think that it's the case that most people have believed since the Second World War that the ascent of white-collar jobs and that route to mobility really required a college education. And it's true, for many professions it does. But there's a whole other sector of the economy that requires a different kind of training, and we disinvested in it, unfortunately, while other countries not only maintained their investment and increased it. So if you are a teenager in Germany, for example, probably you're likely to go to a dual career education system in which you spend part of the day in high school, part of the day on the shop floor learning a high-skilled trade. And by the time you're 19, you have qualified through a very demanding series of national examinations for positions like mechatronics, advanced manufacturing technicians, information technology, the healthcare professions. All of those walks of life are accessed through a very different kind of education system, one that we ought to be providing as a matter of choice for our young people, because there's no one pathway to absolute success.
You know, I want to talk about students more in just a second, but this suddenly brought to mind a couple years ago, I spoke with a small business owner in central Massachusetts who has a manufacturing business, and she was just very concerned about the future of her business because an entire generation of her best workers are about to retire. And it's funny because she mentioned Europe specifically. She said her competitors in Europe have apprenticeship programs that are subsidized by the government. So they're already training their next generation. And she just didn't see that same option for her.
That's absolutely true. And this is one of the reasons why I'm so pleased that the state of Massachusetts has decided to invest more heavily under the Baker administration in vocational education and in apprenticeship. And we actually have here in Massachusetts a wide range of excellent high schools that do marry the two. But they could use a lot more modern equipment. They could use more opportunities to tie in with industry. And our students could use more encouragement to think about these divergent options and choose among them which ones will work best for them.
Mm. Now, the investment you're talking about was the proposal in the 2017 state budget that would add $83 million, I'm seeing, over 5 years for vocational technical schools in Massachusetts?
That's right. And Massachusetts will become a leader in this field if it does so.
Okay. Well, let's talk a little bit more about the student. And I don't want to say stereotypical, but the prototypical student in the United States that you're thinking about right now who would benefit from this additional option. Who is this person?
This person is either male or female. This is someone who has a really strong mechanical aptitude, someone with a good sense of introductory physics, chemistry, mathematics, who is interested in manufacturing or in technical fields and really sees themselves as wanting to get to work earlier in order to earn a living that's a robust middle-class living, and for whom the four-year college experience isn't really what they're interested in. That said, the strongest vocational programs do provide tracks back into higher education. The idea is flexibility and opportunity in all directions, not pigeonholing or tracking.
Mm. Let me ask you, though, this is In terms of lifetime earnings, this is a subject that we've talked about on this show a lot. There does seem to be at least a body of evidence, a significant body of evidence that says lifetime earnings on average for someone who holds a four-year college degree is going to be significantly more than someone who graduates with just a high school degree. Now, we're talking about something in between, but do we have a sense as to what lifetime earnings would be for someone who goes down the voc-tech path?
I think the important point is that word on average, mm-hmm. because on average hides a lot of variation underneath the averages. Averaged into those numbers are people with very high earnings in computer science and engineering, but also at the opposite end, people in retail, people who are earning much lower wages. So on average isn't really a very helpful number if you are a young person trying to figure out where your future lies. If you go this vocational technical path and you get one of the higher end jobs, you're going to be earning $60,000, $70,000 a year. But not every technical job is like that. So there's a range of variation even among the so-called CTE jobs. But there's a huge range of variation among four-year college graduates also. Mm-hmm. And that includes a large number of underemployed people at this point, and that's the overhang of the Great Recession. So it is true that on average, a four-year graduate will earn about $1 million more than a high school graduate, but that average masks a lot of variation we need to pay attention to.
And then there's also just the issue of you've mentioned underemployment, but unemployment. I do think it's worth underscoring, I said under a lot, but it's underscoring some of these numbers, because I know you've taken a look at, for example, what the unemployment rates are for recent grads in places like Baltimore or Detroit. I mean, it's huge. The numbers are astonishing.
They are. And this is what I think is such a crying shame, because if you look at youth unemployment in Germany, for example, where they have invested very heavily in this kind of training, it's 7%. But if you look at especially minority male youth unemployment in cities like Baltimore or Detroit or a long list of other Rust Belt cities, it's north of 50%. And I think if we could offer these kinds of opportunities as well as the college package, we would open up possibilities for people who are stuck in cities where the labor market has been highly constrained and where employers are not going to locate there if they don't find this kind of technical labor force to employ.
Right. You know, Catherine Newman, I heard you say a couple minutes ago about the fact that there was quite a long period of time in which manufacturing was on the decline in the United States. So that may be part of the reason why we didn't have we didn't see the kind of investment and planning for this broad need that we find ourselves having today. But still, that in mind, what do you think are the sort of the major policy impediments towards meeting the need for these sort of 21st century middle jobs?
I think the biggest problem we face is a kind of boom-bust interest in this topic. We get interested when the economy shifts. We get interested when unemployment rises, whereas our competitor countries are consistently interested and consistently investing. So they don't. You could have had this conversation about my ideas in the 1990s, the last time we got interested in vocational and technical education. But in between, we sort of lose interest and stop investing. Instead of a consistent, highly invested policy, we get inconsistency. And then we have to ramp up all over again. So, for example, when you go to a school like Aviation High School in New York City, which has been there since 1936 and has helped to build the airline and aircraft industry, as well as the military, you will see there that these extraordinary young people and their extremely dedicated teachers are working on equipment that was new in the 1950s. And they depend on donations from companies to give them aircraft to work on, and once in a while they get them. Their counterparts in other countries have consistent investments, the latest equipment, they're training on the machinery they really need to know, and that means they are highly valuable to employers from day one. So we not only need more invested, we need it to be more consistent and higher quality.
Let me ask you, though. I'm curious. Does that boom-bust cycle of interest have anything to do with the fact that it seems like these days fewer and fewer policymakers themselves may have come from a background where they realize the intrinsic value of vocational technology? Let me just put it this way. There's an increasing gap in terms of wealth and education between policymakers and the average American. I mean, does that have anything to do with it? They're not even in touch with communities that could most benefit from it.
Well, Well, I think many policymakers are deeply concerned about communities with high levels of unemployment and with industrial bases that have been falling apart because they care about those communities. But I think the average family is also out of touch with what these opportunities would look like. And so they tend to be influenced by what we talk about in cultural values that tends to devalue blue-collar labor or devalue technical labor instead of speaking about it with the kind of respect that I think it deserves. We built a magnificent country based on people who knew how to build things and who were invested in high-quality craftsmanlike labor. And we seem to have lost touch with that as we've grown ever more in love with high-collar, white-collar work.
So I want to ask you a question very specific to Massachusetts, because in our discussion we've talked about how these kinds of modern manufacturing jobs are increasingly a part of the economic mix here in the state. And we also mentioned the proposal in the 2017 state budget for that additional $83 million for vocational technical schools to upgrade their equipment, essentially, amongst other grants. But, you know, we've also had conversations on Radio Boston about how right now the demand for seats in these schools in the state exceeds the number of seats available. And I'm not seeing anything in the state budget that would actually just, quite frankly, increase the number of vocational technical schools around Massachusetts. And with that in mind, I just want to play a little piece of tape from you. It's from Robert Dutch. He's the superintendent of the Upper Cape Cod Regional School District. And we spoke with him last November.
Historically, we accept 180 students, and we have a wait list of about 150. Mm. The demand has changed significantly. We've expanded our enrollment as much as practical, given the space issues that we have.
And they still have even more demand, as Robert Dutch told us. So, I mean, in Massachusetts, do you see any way to take care of that problem?
Well, I've been told that we're thinking about double sessions. Certainly involving the community colleges is an important pathway as well for this kind of education. I think it's a healthy sign that there's a high demand because it tells us that our young people and their families are paying attention to where the openings are and where the possibilities are for good paying jobs. And we certainly want to support that. I think regional training centers are an important part of this in the Southeast. That's the way we see it. Feeder high schools coming into central vocational systems that take four or five high schools as their feeders. So I think there are lots of different options here, but I applaud the state of Massachusetts for investing in higher quality education of this kind. It's necessary if we're going to have the sorts of workers who can really add to the prosperity of our industries. When industries like steel or auto manufacturing come back, they don't come back as your ordinary manufacturing line worker. They come back as mechatronics. They come back as high-skilled sort of computer programming jobs. Really, that's what blue-collar labor is like now. It's right. It's very technical and very skilled. And so unless we're going to produce people like that, our industrial leaders are going to find that the workforce isn't up to what they need them to do.
Well, Catherine Newman is a provost and senior vice chancellor of academic affairs at UMass Amherst. She's also a professor of sociology there. She wrote recently in the New York Times about the need, the pressing need, for vocational technical education in the economy of 21st century America and Massachusetts, for that matter. Catherine Newman, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you for having me.